I really feel that few of modern society's bits and pieces are sadder, more banal, I guess, than a big office. It's kind of like, once mankind perfected the assembly line, there was nothing left to do but live on it. Desk after bulky desk, endless rows reaching into the distance like railroad tracks to nowhere. Honestly, I don't know if it's more depressing or more boring. Unless someone's trying to rub you out in one of them. Then I'm pretty damn confident in telling you it's a lot more depressing than it is boring. I hadn't caught any of their names, if they'd been spoken at all. I'd had other things to worry about at the time. So as far as I was concerned, they were Mustache, Muscles, Edgy, and Egghead. Muscles was the guy who was doing most of the actual pounding on me. Big surprise there, right? With Mustache watching over his shoulder, maybe to see if Muscles was doing it wrong, Edgy kept a few steps away, fist wrapped around the only heater in sight, a Colt Semi, if it matters, though I knew the others were packing in their coat pockets. Egghead had also moved back a little. In one hand, he was holding a length of polished whitewood, just a little curved, not quite twice the size of a fountain pen. He pulled it from the shoulder holster under my jacket, so I gotta imagine he was anticipating something else. But ultimately, none of these fellas was my main problem. No, he was sitting way over at the front of the office, his keister planted on the manager's desk. Tan slacks, navy sport coat, and a pressed shirt with a collar big enough to serve as a parachute. Spitting image of a rich man's idea of casual. His name, I knew. Floyd Winger, committee man of Chicago's 34th Ward, went red as a honeymooning bride as he tore open the flap and looked inside. Meanwhile, I struggled to keep my focus on Edgy and Egghead.
Who sent you? What'd you break in for? I swear, Bo, if you don't start talking, we're gonna have to—
It's all right, Ronnie.
Committee man Winger waved the envelope at me.
I know everything I need to know.
Yeah, you keep right on thinking that, you dumb bastard. Egghead, his curiosity piqued, turned to face his boss. Without even thinking about it, he slipped the length of wood into the pocket of his coat, which was hanging on the chair behind him. Well, finally. I thought for a while there I was never going to make him do that.
Well, so who is he, Mr. Winger?
Oh, I don't know his name, Benny.
Of course he didn't. I'd left the wallet back in my office. Didn't want my name on me during a B&E job, did I?
But I know why he's here. And we both know who sent you, don't we?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just a janitor. Had to break in because I forgot my key. And my uniform.
Either I wasn't nearly as funny as I thought I was, or Muscles laughs with his fists.
Now, Ronnie, that shouldn't be necessary any longer. So this is how Bastion wants to play it? Send some sap to come and burgle my place? Fine, we'll play. This is on his head and yours.
Even if I hadn't been tightly roped to a heavy wooden chair, I'd already taken a beating that'd keep a strong man down for hours and put a weak one in the hospital. Two things they might have wanted to know right then. First, I heal fast. Damn fast. It takes a lot more than a beating to lay me up longer than a few minutes, no matter how bad. And second, I could have been free of the ropes half a minute after they tied me in. Not only are my joints a lot more flexible than most, but Mustache left a lot of slack in the loops. I stood up, rope dangling loosely from around my left wrist. I spun the chair around and used it to return some of the loving attention that Muscles had been giving me over the course of the evening. He doubled up around the wood and hit the carpet. I was off and running before any of them had quite doped out what was happening. I put a haymaker across Egghead's chin and he collapsed in a heap. I yanked his coat from the chair where he draped it and spun, moving toward my favorite public servant, Committee Man Winger, who was, himself, making a pretty convincing sprint for the closest door. Mustache moved to intercept me, yanking a .38 special from his jacket. I hurled myself frantically to the side, plowing into one of the desks, so we went tumbling in a splayed mess of limbs, both flesh and wood. The slugs chewed through the far wall or into the wooden shield I was hunkering behind. I couldn't hide here forever. Edgy was digging in Muscle's coat over one of the other chairs, probably going for the larger man's Roscoe. And Muscles himself was starting to struggle upright. On the other hand, I was packing now too. From Egghead's jacket pocket, I slid the wand he'd found so damn peculiar. A Luchtane and Goodfellow model 1592. It sat in my hand like it was a part of me. No surprise there, considering how long I've had it. I've actually worn down the wood to fit my fist. I raked the LNG across Winger's goons, reaching through the mystic conduit to fiddle with the images behind their eyes. I gathered strands of shadow from the blind spots at the corners of their vision, smeared it across the rest of their sight. For just a few moments, Their worlds went dark as the inside of a gas tank.
Hey, who killed the lights?
Ronnie, that you? Where are you?
I'm over here!
Who's that?
At which point, genius that he was, Edgy started squirting metal at every sound he didn't immediately recognize. Figuring that ought to keep them all busy for a few minutes, I went hunting for Floyd Winger. I practically skidded across the rough carpet and slid into the brass railing on the balcony beyond. A quick peek down into the first floor atrium didn't show me much of anything useful. Big honkin' secretary's desk, bunch of potted ferns, marble flooring with swirls the color of watered-down Pepto-Bismol. Of course, I couldn't see anything beneath the balcony, but at least the front door was firmly shut and there was no sight or sound of Winger anywhere near him. LNG held straight and ready, I crept along the open hall on the balls of my feet. Open atrium to the left of me, thick doors and dark windows to the right. And I guess he knew I was coming, because he bolted from his hiding hole and made a mad dash for the stairs. He'd been skulking in the washroom. I aimed the LNG.
That's far enough, Mr. Winger.
He froze, his hands high, and turned, at which point he saw just what it was I was pointing his way.
You think you're funny? You think any of this is funny?
Yeah, I think there's maybe some funny to it.
Fine. I'll send that stupid little stick to Baskin, along with a free copy of the headlines when the photos go public. I'm sure he'll think the joke's absolutely hysterical.
My stupid little stick spit .45 caliber fire. It wasn't any of it real, of course. Just another illusion. Before Winger could realize that he hadn't actually been shot, I was on him like a troll on a wounded kid. For a minute, we rolled back and forth between the office walls and the half wall that marked the balcony's edge. Fists flying, but I'm not being cocky when I say that he never had much of a chance. I was about to stop anyway. No, really, I was. When I learned that I'd badly underestimated at least one of the committee man's thugs. Mustache flew from the office, one ace of a shiner decorating the left side of his face and a nasty little switchblade in his right hand. He came at me and I stood, grabbed his arm, and swung him aside easy as duck soup. He tottered and went over the balcony railing. Not my intention at all. Winger and I just stared at each other, jaws hanging stupidly. Then, reluctantly, I took a few steps and leaned over the edge. You wouldn't have believed it, but damn if Mustache wasn't alive. He wouldn't be jitterbugging anytime soon. I could see that from the new and fascinating ways his drumsticks were bending, but one of those goofy potted ferns had broken the worst of his fall. I was still looking over the brass railing when the front door burst open and a dozen coppers stormed the lobby. I actually felt more than 20 peepers focus on Mustache lying in the wreckage of the big terracotta pot, covered in blood and soil, and then rotate on up to focus on my gulping mug. So it probably shouldn't have come as any surprise to me that four of them drew heat and started shooting at me before I even had the chance to raise my hand.